All right. I'd like for you to turn with me in the Word of God tonight to Judges chapter 3. As we stand to our feet, Judges chapter number 3. Begin reading in verse number 9. Read about the first judge of Israel. The Bible says, verse 9, "And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." I want to preach tonight on this thought, from failure to victory. From failure to victory. And tonight what we need in our lives as Christians is not to live the defeated Christian life, but to live the victorious Christian life. And this is the time to start. If we're not already on that path and on that trail, let's begin now. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for how our hearts have already been stirred tonight with the wonderful music, the choir, the quartet, and the solo. Lord, we thank you for great things that you've done for us. Lord, I pray as we look into thy word tonight that we'll hear from thee and be strengthened to do thy blessed will. God, I pray that somehow, some way, you'd use me tonight to be an encouragement, to be a blessing. But Lord, more than anything, I pray that we wouldn't hear from me, but we'd hear from thee. Lord, our lives will be touched to go on and do the things you'd have us to do. Give our life to you each and every day. Lord, to help us to live that victorious Christian life that you have for us. And we'll thank you for what's accomplished, for we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. When we go back and we begin studying the book of Judges, there's things that we can look at. You go back to the first chapter, and the first 18 verses record some early victories that Judah and Simeon and the rest of these tribes had, and the rest of the chapter, if you go and read it, you're going to find there's defeat, 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 defeat. You know, sometimes God has victory for us, and when we don't do what it is He wants us to do, we end up defeated. And so even as a people with great promises from God, these people failed. They had everything they needed to have victory, but they had much failure. The Bible teaches us in chapter number 1 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem." So they failed to conquer the land. God had promised them victory, and God had promised them a land, but they did not drive out the Jebusites. And Joshua, if you'll remember, had warned them about compromising with the enemy, and now they were falling into that trap. Sometimes we find ourselves compromising with the enemy, don't we? We think, well, we'll just give in a little bit here, but God help us not to do that. They failed to conquer the land. Number two, they failed to consider the law. In Judges chapter number 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of the Lord. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this?" Isn't that amazing? God's asking a question here. We see here that Gilgal, talking about Gilgal, and it had been the scene of great victory for Israel, but because they failed to consider the law and the things of God, and they failed to consider the word of the Lord, they changed it from Gilgal to Bochim. Bochim literally means the place of weeping. And dear friends, when God has victory for us, but we don't obey His word and His law, if you will, or the word of God, then it'll bring weeping to our lives. They failed to consider His law. So they had changed from winning. Gilgal means winning, victory, to Bochim, weeping. They went from winning to weeping because they did not obey the word of God. And then they failed to cleave to the Lord. Judges chapter number 2, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam." They've gone a long ways now, haven't they? First of all, they didn't obey. They didn't conquer the land. Then they didn't consider the law. But now they've turned their backs on God altogether. They failed to cleave to the Lord. That's the spiral that people are headed down when we start down this long, winding trail. When we, first of all, don't obey God. And secondly, when we don't obey His Word. And thirdly, when we turn our backs on Him, we are totally away from the rest and the victory that God has for us as believers. But God has exactly what we need to regain the victory in our lives. The failure of the people of God brought judgment. We know if you read this book, you go through it, you're going to find that it brought judgment, and judgment brought repentance, and repentance brought mercy, and mercy brought rest, and it gave them victory again. Sometimes we just need to consider what's going on in the Old Testament with these Jews, and realizing the church is not New Testament Israel. We understand that there's a place for all, and everybody that's on their way to heaven is going by the grace of God through His precious mercy, saved by grace through faith. But God had a promise to a people. Now He has promises to individuals. We by faith trust the Lord Jesus Christ. So we begin here in chapter number 3 with our text, and I want us to look at this. Verse number 9, we find the first judge of Israel, the one that God raised up to deliver His people. The Bible says, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel. So the Bible helps us to understand. I want you to think about Christian failures tonight. Every one of us could go back to our lives, and maybe you're living in the victory right now. Maybe you're going through a time of great victories, but all of us could probably go back to a place in our life where we were living in defeat, you know? It's a horrible place to be. The defeated Christian life is a terrible place. There's no happiness about it. There's no joy. And we see here tonight, as we think about this and we consider these Old Testament people tonight, I want you to see that many of the failures that they had are things that are in the lives of professing believers today. Instead of overcoming the enemy, sometimes people compromise and the enemy drags us down, and we disobey the Word of God. It's just a spiral. It's a terrible thing. So what are you saying tonight, preacher? I'm saying let's not compromise with the enemy. Let's not give in to the enemy. And let's not fail to have God's Word as a part of our life. And let's never turn our back on God. And no matter what hurt it may cost us in this world, let's take our stand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Tonight, if we'll have that determination that we're going to take our stand for God, God will do great and mighty things in our life, and God will give rest to His people. Rest doesn't mean that we do nothing. Rest just means that we have great peace with God. In the midst of all that's going on around us, we can have victory. We can have peace. We can have joy. That's what the rest of the people of God is talking about. With all the things that are happening in our world today, we need that rest, don't we? We need to have victory. We need to know that God's taking care of us. And as we think about what happens here, I think that we can find some great things that will help us out. And I'm going to give you three things that will help us to live the victorious Christian life. We see that they go from failure to victory. Now, the victory is not long-lived. It's 40 years. But they had victory. And tonight, I want you to know we can have victory in our lives. We can have this great rest. First of all, I want you to see that there must be a recognition of need. We must recognize our need. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. In other words, they realized they had been living in this failure long enough. They were tired of the defeated life. And these failing children of God recognized their condition. And they cried to God for help. Can I say something here tonight? If you need help, there's one place you can go to, and He can always help. He can always take care of your needs. But the problem is a lot of times we don't recognize our need. You know, it's so sad. A lot of people get so callous Christians. that we don't even recognize that we have a need. But dear friends, when we recognize their need, we're on the right road. We're headed down the right way. We see that when they called upon God, they knew that He was the only one that could help, and they recognized their sin, and they repented of that sin, if you will, as the people of God. They realized they needed God, and they couldn't do it within themselves. They was tired of what they had reaped, of the reaping that they had had, of the things they had sown. What had they sown? Disobedience. They had sown disrespect for the law of God. Disobedience to the things of God when they made this league, when they didn't conquer the land, when they didn't listen to the word of God. Then actually they turned their back on God. I'm telling you, they had sown some terrible things, and they'd realize this is where it got them to. You know, if every Christian in America tonight would recognize what we've done with the Lord, we'd have revival. If we'd recognize the need, and we'd find the people that called on God. I don't want to take too much time, but I was watching something today. I was flipping through the channels, and I saw this guy, and now he was going to a church, not a church that I particularly would approve of, but here's a guy whose father is the leader of Hamas. And in this, he had converted to Christianity. He's actually came to America, and he's going to a church. I believe it's in California, in the San Diego, California area. And I was listening to the things that he had to say, and they said, "Don't you realize that this could cost you your life?" And he said, "Oh, yes." He said, "Don't you fear for that?" And he said, "The way I look at it," he said, "sand is sand, and the world's the world, and people are people." He said, "But what everything that I have is what Jesus has done for me." And here's a man that had a strong Muslim background, and he'd converted to Christ, and he knew the Lord, and he was willing to put his faith in God, and he recognized his need. He said, "I was very religious growing up, but I realized that religion was wrong, and the things they were teaching were wrong." His daddy is the founder, the leader, if you will, of this Hamas group. And he said about his daddy, they said, "What about your daddy?" He said, "The last thing I told them is, you're close to being a Christian too. You're closer to being a Christian than you are to being a Muslim." In other words, God was working in his heart. He said he left his daddy weeping. And they said, "Was he weeping for joy or weeping for despair?" He said, "More of despair at the time, because his son was leaving him." He left his whole family and he came over here. He's asked for asylum from America. And I was watching this with great interest, and I heard the things that he had to say, and I heard his testimony of knowing Jesus as his Savior. And I began to think, you know, here was somebody that grew up in a place where seemingly he had no chance, but here's the Lord Jesus Christ. This guy recognized his need. And he called upon the one that could help. And you know what the one that could help did? He helped him. He's going to a church called Barabbas Church, and it's not the kind of church that I think you and I feel comfortable in. It's an evangelical church, new evangelical, no doubt, when you see some of the things that's going on. But there's no doubt that this man has had a change in his life. And I begin to think about with what this man went through and the danger that his life is in. And they said, "How come you came out?" Because he had been a Christian for quite some time. And they said, "How come you came out and made it public?" And he said, "Because I thought I could reach my people. Maybe they would hear what I had to say and realize that Christ is the answer." I begin to think about that. So many times we bury our heads in the sand. When we have what the people around us need, and their life's not really in danger, they're not going to really come after us. You know, the people down the street's not going to come after us because we're Christians. And it's like we keep it to ourselves. We need to recognize our need, but we need to recognize other people's needs. And when the children of Israel recognized their need, it touched God because He raised up a deliverer. What God does. When you recognize your need and you cry out to God, God hears and answers prayer. There has to be a recognition of need. There'll never be a change in life until we recognize that we need something. I've always said people not be saved. You know, people may be out in the ocean, but they may be swimming and everything's fine. They don't need you to throw them a lifeline. It's not until they start sinking that they need a lifeline. Dear friends, there's a lot of people sinking in the sea of sin. They recognize their need. There's only one lifeline that'll truly help them, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as believers, we're already washed in the blood. We need to realize our need of Him. So many Christians get so far out of God's will, and they get cold, they get indifferent, and they don't want to do anything for the cause of Christ, and you can't convince them that they need this. They just don't seem to be able to recognize it. Recognition is seen in the lives of so many people in the Bible. I think one of the greatest examples is the prodigal son. You remember, he was down there in the hog pens. He had nothing, had the slop in his hands. And the Bible says then he came to himself. And he realized he needed to turn back to his father's house. He recognized his need, didn't he? He said, I'd rather go back and be a servant than to be where I'm at. You know the story. He went back and the father saw him coming and ran to him and kissed him and killed the fatted calf and put on the robe and put on the shoes and did all these great things. That's what God does when we as His children recognize our need and we cry out to Him, truly, truly turning to the Lord, putting our faith and trust in Him, not just for salvation, we've already done that, but just for our life. The Bible says when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, if we're going to go from failure to victory in our lives, if we're going to live in the victory, we need to recognize our need. Number two, there can be a reception of the Spirit. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He was chosen. Here's Othniel. He's chosen of God to be Israel's deliverer. And the Bible says the Spirit of God was upon Othniel. It's interesting. Interesting terminology. What happens when we get saved? The Spirit of God doesn't come upon us. The Spirit of God lives within us. These Old Testament saints, the Bible teaches that Spirit of God came upon them. It was a different thing now. Under grace, we understand that things are different. The Spirit was upon them. The Bible says the 70 men of Moses, if you'll remember that story, the Spirit was on them. But when a sinner is saved now on this day of grace, the Holy Spirit immediately takes His abode in our body. But in our body, as we live our life, if we don't yield to the Lord, if we live unholy lives, if we compromise with the world, if we have worldly actions, then the Bible says we grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't go away, but we grieve the Holy Spirit that's in us. You understand? This victorious life that we have is a life that we're to live guided by the Spirit of God. We sang tonight, the Comforter will come. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God, and the Comforter wants to guide us in this life. Amen. But so many times as believers, we want to do what we want to do. We want to be where we want to be, saying what we want to be saying. And every one of us tonight know Christians. We know preachers and teachers and singers and people that served the Lord at one time. They had the touch of God on their life, and now it's gone. They've grieved the Spirit of God. They're living a life of failure when God has victory for the believer. God wants us to have victory in our lives. Sometimes we've even recognized in our own life, haven't we? If we're just honest about it, times where we've grown cold on the Lord, gotten just a little bit indifferent about things, kind of just got tired of it. Kind of just said, I'm just going to put it aside for a while. And I said, it's a miserable time. There's no joy in that. There's nothing good in that. It don't have to be like that. Because the blessed presence of the Holy Spirit is ready to take our life completely and to fill us with His power. You understand that? The filling of the Holy Spirit. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to speak in some unknown language, but we're going to have the victorious Christian life that God has for us. See, the Spirit comes to live in us. The moment we're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in us. But when we quench the Spirit and we grieve the Spirit, then we're living in defeat. But when we're walking in the Spirit, walking in the light of God's Word, obedient to the things of God, then the power of the Spirit fills us to accomplish His will with our lives. And that's victorious. That's where the victory is. There can be this reception of the Spirit. There can be this working of the Spirit of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit is a great, great part of the Godhead. He is God. Sometimes I've been guilty of saying He's the third person of the Godhead, but that's really putting a place in His life. He's co-equal, co-existent, eternal existent with God the Father, God the Son. There's not a first person, second person, third person. They're God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Bible's clear about that. The Bible never calls Him the third person of the Godhead. Lord, help us. We need to realize that He's God, and this is God that lives in us, and He's ready to take over our lives and to dominate our lives until we're literally lost in His love. The songwriter had it well when he wrote, "Holy Spirit, breathe on me until I am all thine own." We walk in the Spirit and fulfilling the will of God. The Bible says, "And the Spirit came upon him." If we ever are going to have that victorious Christian life, then we need to have that reception of the Spirit. In other words, the working of the Spirit of God in our lives in a great way. Not just where we're saved, but the feeling of the power of the Spirit of God. We need that, don't we? And then there's going to be rest for the soul. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. They had rest for 40 years. Think about it. They cried unto the Lord. These failing Israelites. They had disobeyed God. They had denied God's Word. They disrespected the Lord. They turned their back on God. I mean, honestly, God in justice could have just wiped them out. But God had chosen them. And they were a people after His own name. It was through these people that the Savior was going to come into the world. And we see that He had a love for them. Well, I want you to know He has a love for us. Because it may have been through them that the Savior came into the world, but the Savior did come, and when He died on the cross, He died not only for them, but He died for us. They have no extra special standing in the sight of God in His grace. We have no extra special. If we're saved, we're saved, and we're all on level ground. Whether we be Jew or whether we be Gentile. We're all on level ground, but in the Old Testament, we realize this people that God had chosen had turned their back on God. They had denied the Word of God. They had said they did not drive the Jebusites out of the land, so they disobeyed what God had to say. And here they are. I mean, they had been walking and having failure after failure after failure after failure, and they got tired of it, and they didn't know what to do. So they turned to the One that could help, and they cried out to God. And God gave them rest. What a God! Did they deserve that? No. Do I deserve what I have today? No. But I've got it. Do I deserve the heaven that I'm going to enjoy? No, but I've got it. Do I deserve the eternal life that I have? No, but I've got it. But the thing is I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to live in the victory. I can have the victorious Christian life now. It's mine. It's there. It's yours. It's there for us to have. But we have to recognize our need. And we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Now, this rest lasted for only 40 years. Just as long as they kept the Word of God and served God. What we need to realize is this, is as long as we're doing what God wants us to do, God has rest for His children. But when we get outside of His will, there's no rest for His children. There's no peace outside of the will of God. You can't even know the purpose that God has for your life when you're not living the way He wants you to live, doing the things He wants you to do. God, help us to see this. There is a rest for the people of God. There was a rest then, and there's a rest for the people of God now. In this world, with all that's going on around us, the strife that we see all around us, there's a place where the child of God can rest and not be troubled. The psalmist had a great understanding of that when he said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The shepherd has rest for his sheep. When a Christian gets out of the will of God, rebels against the Word of God, and you get weary from it, get just weary of living in defeat, I'm glad that we have a God that is so merciful. I don't know how long God will continue His mercy in our lives. I truly believe a lot of people's lives have been shortened simply because they didn't turn to Him. Saved, heaven's theirs, but God had so much more for their life, but they rebelled against God. I don't want to do that, do you? I want to live in the will of God. And I want to have what He has. And by the way, if I'm living in the will of God and it's God's will for my life to be gone tomorrow, then that's His choice. But I can have rest for today. I can have strength for the day. From failure to victory. God help us. I'm tired of what the world's trying to do. We need to try to get away from what the world's trying to do to us and get into what God's wanting to do for us. God has something greater than this world has. Let's give our lives to Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You and we thank You for loving us. Lord Jesus, tonight we ask You to help us in this time of invitation to be completely obedient to Your precious will. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to do the things that You've commanded for us to do. Lord, help us to drive out the things in our lives that ought not be there. Help us to take in the Word of God. And then, Lord, help us to always be true to You. Lord, help us to recognize our need tonight. If there's people here, Lord, we recognize our need. Help us to be honest and to cry unto You. Lord, we know that in Your mercy and grace, You can hear and answer our prayer if we're sincere. Lord, help us to be sincere so that we can have the victorious life that You have for us. And we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. For it's in Thy blessed and wonderful name we do pray. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.